Out of habit, he scanned his screens. Some blips. He looked through the screen for a visual check. Four objects in orbit was what should be there. No, there were five. One new object was approaching the four old ones, all brighter and steadier than stars, about 400 miles up. The last thing he was going to do was go up and visit them. Unknown ships there. He was flying a relatively untried ship here. He had no support. And even if this old relic could fly clear to the moon and back, he needed no additional incidents at this time, thank you. But maybe he could get some better pictures. Stormies, taken in daylight, had been fuzzy with ultraviolet. He threw his plane up to a height of 200 miles and closer to the objects, his attention mainly on putting the recorders on standby. What was that? A flash from the new fifth ship? Yes. Another flash? Were they shooting at him? Ready to take evasive action, he suddenly saw a wild flurry of flashes coming from one of the four objects and a splash of light on the fifth. Hey, the fifth ship was shooting at one of the original four, and that one was firing back. He quickly battered away at the old controls and closed the distance to about 150 miles. He was so intent on getting his recorders working, he didn't realize he was shooting in toward those ships at hypersonic maximum. Astonishing! The fifth ship and one of the original four were really having at it. Blast streaks were sheets of blue, green, and red between them. Orange splashes of hits. Abruptly, he realized they were getting awfully big in his view screens. A cyclo-numbered digital was rolling up the narrowing distance. 75 miles. An instant before he pressed the console for a reverse roll and drive, the firing among the ships ceased abruptly. Johnny put his old wreck into a full power fall and got out of there. That was not his war. He didn't even know whether he had working guns. At about 100 miles above the Earth's surface, he eased off. He was about 50 miles up when he was flying level again. He looked back. They were not firing now, just sitting up there. The fifth ship seemed to have closed in on the others. Johnny shook his head at himself. This was not the time to be doing crazy, reckless things. He had almost done exactly what he had warned Stormy not to do. Go visiting. The old relic he was flying had become heated from air friction. It was built to take it, but he had come up for a cool breath of air, and now the flight deck was hot. If he'd really wanted to go up there, he would have taken just an ordinary battle plane, making sure its gaskets were tight around the doors, and making sure its guns were loaded and working. Sir Robert would not have been proud of him. Another blip on his view screens. Down low at about 100,000 feet of altitude. Coming on a route from Scotland? America? Over the pole? Warm cabin or no warm cabin, he streaked down to intercept and identify. He flipped on his local command channel, and just as he did so, a voice from the nearby plane came through.
Don't shoot! I'll marry your daughter!
It was Donaldine. Johnny laughed. It was the first time he had laughed since returning from America. He spun the old relic around and flashed after Donaldine as the Scot roared down toward the mine site.